All right, Romans chapter 7 and 8 again. I might as well just leave those off. Romans chapter 7 and 8, and mainly again, actually chapter 7, the last two verses where the Apostle Paul wrote these words, we have them recorded here. The Apostle Paul wrote, "O wretched man that I am." As I said before, I've read several books. You have all kinds of different ideas as to what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote these words. You ever read commentaries and they'll say, here's what the Apostle Paul meant. Here's what the writer meant. And usually when they put down, here's what the writer meant, they say something different than what the writer said. Because the point is, in Scripture, we're not trying to find out what the writer meant. We're simply to look at what the writer said. We don't need to find out what he meant. He meant what he said. And what he said was, "O wretched man." Now that's, I want to emphasize, "O wretched man." Wretched. This is much more than, well, we're all sinners. Right? Now granted, it's true. That is a truth. We are all sinners. Right? We're all sinners. Scripture says, the Apostle Paul wrote it, wasn't it? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. A very familiar verse to many people. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But the truth of this passage is what the Apostle Paul is talking about is his experience. And Mason, once God opened his eyes to what the law truly says, once God opened his eyes to his own particular state, it's no longer just we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It now comes, David, down to, "O wretched man that I am." It doesn't matter whether anybody else is a sinner or not. I know I am one. And here's another point. "O wretched man that I," what? "Am." Here is the Apostle Paul, the very one who said, "I labored more abundantly than all of you." Right? He wrote that, didn't he? "I labored more abundantly than all the rest of them." Yet here, in his honest statement of his experience before God, in writing this as an apostle, being moved by the Spirit of God, he writes, not, "O wretched man that I was." That's the way a lot of people talk, right? "I'm saved, and I used to be that way." Right? "I'm saved now." There's another way. "I'm saved now, but I used to be that way." The Apostle Paul says, "O wretched man that I," what? "Am." "O wretched man that I am." But then here's the point. This next word, "who?" Right? That's what I spoke about, what was it? 3 Sundays ago, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Who? Paul has been brought from, or has ceased now, has begun to cease from looking to what as justification before God. He's now looking, his only place to look, the only place of hope for the Apostle Paul is to look to a who. The whats are gone. They're of no value anymore. Somebody says, "I keep the law." They're at fault in 2 ways. First of all, they don't realize how wretched they truly are. And they also don't realize that, as James says, to offend in one point, just one, is to be guilty of all. Somebody says, "But I've never done that." Well, God says you have, whether you think you have or not. "But I've never stolen." Well, if you've committed adultery, you've what? You've stolen, didn't you? Huh? I've always kept the Sabbath day. There's not a one of us here that's probably done that, have we? Huh? There's not a one of us here that's kept the Sabbath day to remember it, to keep it holy, have we? You know, all these people, "I keep the Sabbath day. I remember the Lord's day." Huh? And what are they doing? They're doing it on Sundays. According to Scripture, the Sabbath begins when, Mason? Friday evening at sundown to Saturday, it ends at Saturday evening on sundown. And God has not changed the Sabbath. And the law still says, it hadn't changed. It doesn't say, thou shalt now keep the Sabbath on Sunday. It says, you remember the what? The seventh day. Remember it to keep it holy. Now, according to the Scripture, if we haven't given God all His due, that is to see God as God alone. He is the only God, the one true God, and love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. We've stolen from God, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We've stolen from God. Now, according to the Apostle Paul, he says, O wretched man that I am, but according to God, in giving him life through the Spirit of God, and beginning to hear the truth of God from the Word of God, he cries out, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let's take note of Paul's constant references to who. Look at it, chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by what? By the body of Christ. You see what that says? Now, I want us to try to take clear note of some of these things, that what the Apostle Paul is actually saying. I will do so by emphasizing some things that he does not say, therefore trying to lay the greater emphasis upon what the Apostle Paul actually does say. He does not say, wherefore, my brethren, you're also become dead to the law by God. Now, would that statement be true? Yes, it would be true, would it not? Jesus Christ is none other than God Almighty manifest in the flesh. But the truth of Scripture is, as God willing we will see later, the truth of Scripture is you cannot have God apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my brethren, you're also become dead to the law by what? And not just by Christ either. That's not what he says either, is it, Mason? He says, but by the body of Christ. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The Apostle Paul is constantly caught up with none other than the person of Jesus Christ. You remember, I think I mentioned this, Philippians chapter 3, Oh, that I might know election. Is that what he said? No. Oh, that I might know limited redemption. Is that what he said? No. Oh, that I might know perseverance. Is that what he said? No. He says, oh, that I might know who? Him. 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 To be saved, simply stated, and without going into a lot of the explanations or the ramifications of the word. Simply stated, to be saved is to know Christ. To not know Christ is to be lost. Now, I did not say to not know Christ is to be reprobate. A person may not know Christ and be chosen by God, because his chosen were chosen by him before the foundation of the world. And they were not chosen in light of the fact that they would know Christ, but they were chosen and they would come to know Christ. But the point is this, a person who does not know Christ, who does not come to Christ, a person who does not see by faith Jesus Christ, that person is still lost. They have not been in what most people traditionally call salvation. They have not been saved. Again, I read it. Chapter 7, verse 4, Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by what? By the body of Christ. Here's another one. Chapter 7, and I've done read it, but let's read it again. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through what? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I remember it's actually been many years ago. It's long before I knew most everyone here, before we came together
as the group we are now.
And I remember sitting in a service, and an individual came and preached to the people in that building, and he preached from Ephesians chapter 2. And David, the man, actually got up and preached to the extent. And this is what he said. Maybe not verbatim, but what he actually said is, unless God does something for you first, you'll never make a move toward God. Now, that's sound doctrine.
Yes, it is.
That's truth. And that man preached that in spite of the fact that most of the time when I'd heard him preach prior to that, he didn't teach that. Now, why, other than the Spirit of God, David, why he ever preached that, I have no idea, other than God intended for people to hear that message that night. But there was a deacon who got up and walked forward and said, you know what, I have never been saved because I never knew that truth. And you know what the pastor told him? You're a deacon. You believed in Jesus. You know about Jesus. You know about Him. You've given your heart to Him. You prayed that prayer years and years ago. You're okay. You see, the point is, a person may know of Jesus, but you must have a personal encounter with Jesus. Every person in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ come in the flesh, every person for whom Christ did something had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Even one tried to come up secretly and touch the hem of His garment to be healed. And she was. But she couldn't do it without Christ's notice. Right? Because what does it say He did? He said, who touched Me? And the disciples said, what are you talking about? Because it says He was pressed by the throng. You know what it means to be pressed by the throng? Now, I've been in certain places and been pressed by the throng, but I'm not going to tell you about it because I'm embarrassed by it. But I'll give you an illustration of that. You know, like during Christmas time, and they have the big sale going on, and people been out there for 2 or 3 days camping out in tents waiting to get the newest toy. Huh? And they open up those doors, and this throng of people masses into the building. And Mason, there are people all around you, touching you, pressing up against you, so that you have no idea who's who and what's what. He was being pressed for the throng, and all of a sudden Christ said, who touched Me? Think about the woman at the well. Did she just come to know some general ideas about this man Jesus of Nazareth, or did she have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Think about a man called Saul of Tarsus. Did he just learn a few doctrines? Mason, I bet you he already knew about the sovereignty of God. I bet you Saul of Tarsus already knew about predestination. I bet you Saul of Tarsus already knew something about redemption being limited. Huh? Don't you think? He knew that only the people that had the sacrifice offered would have redemption, right? He knew those things. He was steeped in the law. He knew the law as far as a doctrine was concerned. But he never personally met Jesus Christ. But when it come time for God to save him, who did he meet? He met Jesus Christ. That's why I said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What I'm trying to point out this morning is, and there's basically three ways that I have to try to define this. I'm trying to basically point out this fundamental truth, that if you, by God's free sovereign grace, if you've not had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory, you do not know what salvation is. I don't care how much Calvinism you believe. I don't care how much true doctrine. It says that God chose us. Well, let me turn to it. Now think about it. What is it? 2 Thessalonians. It's a passage that I love. 2 Thessalonians 2, basically, for the sake of time, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Now that, let me just stop and say, that is a work of God that God does by sovereign fiat, totally apart from any cooperation of the sinner. In other words, the Spirit of God comes upon a person that God the Father chose before the foundation of the world, and the Spirit of God moves upon that person and sets them apart unto a specific work. And a part of that specific work is this: He gives them spiritual life. But it is sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. Now let me stop just a moment. As I said, there's three ways we got to come at this, but I've got to establish the foundation of this first. First of all, God never chose to save, that is, to convert, okay? To actually bring to salvation. He does not bring people to salvation through lies. Now, let's get that clear. Now, first of all, I do not believe, I am not of the ilk that says or believes that you have to be under the sound of me, or you have to be under the sound of somebody like me for this to happen to you. The only thing that has to be present is two things. First of all, sanctification of the Spirit, right? And what else has to be there? The truth. And the truth can come from anything or anybody if God Almighty's ordained it to happen. Okay? As long as it's the truth, Mason, it's the truth. I don't care who says it. God can use it. But let us remember, God don't use lies either. He does not convert through lies. Well, that person knows nothing about the truth, but they're okay. No, I'm sorry. Now, it may not be but just an inkling of truth compared to what I think I know about the truth. And you know I said compared to what I think I know about the truth. It may not be but just a small jot or tittle of truth compared to someone else, but truth must be there. Okay? Truth must be there. And if it's truth, as long as sanctification of the Spirit precedes it, David, it don't take but just a little bitty truth. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of truth. Whether it's a whole lot of truth or a little bit of truth, truth is truth. But truth it must be. Somebody says, that kind of leaves a whole lot of people out. Well, ain't that what God said? Ain't that what Christ said? He said, there's many that's on the broad way. He said, there's few that find the straight and narrow way. That's scary, isn't it? But that's still truth. But here's the thing. Notice he didn't say that God chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of doctrine. Does he? Now, you remember what our Lord said one time? We're talking about, what is the truth then? Truth. It says, belief of the truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ says this: the truth shall set you free. Isn't that what he said? I think it's what, John chapter 8, I believe it may be. I'm not for sure. I believe it's John chapter. The truth shall set you free. But then he qualifies that, so that there is no misunderstanding. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So to have the truth, apart from having the Son, is just as well as not having any truth whatsoever. Now, do you get what I'm saying? You can believe all about election, but if you don't have Christ, you ain't got nothing. You can believe Jesus Christ died for just the elect, but unless you know Him personally, you ain't got nothing. You can believe that God's elect will all persevere, but you ain't gonna persevere unless you've got Jesus Christ. No, the Apostle Paul is literally, physically, mentally, emotionally, and all of this based upon the panoply of spiritually, he is caught up with Jesus Christ. You remember what I said 2 or 3 weeks ago? Many people see Jesus Christ as just another piece of the puzzle. Right? The puzzle is God's truth. And over here you got a piece of it shows the Holy Spirit, and over here's a piece, and that shows God the Father. Here's a piece that shows Jesus Christ, and here's a piece that shows Trinity, and here's a piece that shows virgin birth. But the truth of this puzzle, if we can use that analogy, is that all the pieces of truth, Mason, virgin birth, deity, God manifest in the flesh, predestination, election, perseverance, once this puzzle is put together, we see the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to what our Lord said. Let me try to find it. It's John chapter 5. Now think about this. And I'll try to bring this all together here in a moment. Like I told you, there's three different ways of looking at this. Or not different ways of looking at it. There are three different conditions that people find themselves in concerning this. But basically, I'm trying to lay the foundation first. John chapter 5. And for a little context, let me just begin in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, you know, I've thought about that. I've read over that, and I've read that, and I've read that, and I've always, and rightfully so, because that's the immediate context, I've always applied that to the person of Jesus Christ. And rightfully so, because that's what it's talking about, right? In stating what he did state, he was, Ellen, making himself equal with God. He was saying, "I am God." These Jews recognized this and hated him for it, right? But what does Scripture say we have the right to call God? Doesn't it say that? That we have the right to call him not just Father, but also what? Abba, Father. Papa, my Father. And folks, there is a true sense that in Jesus Christ, we are, what? Equal with God. Amen. Now, I said in a true sense, in Jesus Christ, I stand before God just as holy as God himself. You look at me, you're not going to see that. And that's just a fact. You are not going to see that. It doesn't take long to follow me around. You will find that out. But in Jesus Christ, Mason, I am as righteous as God himself. God Almighty says through the apostle, the same Apostle Paul, that God calleth those things which be not as though they were. And somebody says to me, "But you're not a righteous person. I know you." And I have to say, you're right. I'm not a righteous person, but thank God, God calls those things which be not as though they were. God calls me, David, a righteous man. He is not, and not just that. Jack, he has declared us to be a righteous people in his Son. But let's get back to this. That he broke, not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, that is truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do." Now let me say, this is not a statement of Christ's inability. This is a statement of Christ's absolute union with the Father. There are some of these ignorant reprobates out here that claim to be the people of God that say, see, right there, Christ was showing he wasn't truly equal with God. That's hogwash and garbage. He's declaring most clearly, I am God Almighty, because what God does, I do. What I do, God does. I do nothing on my own. For it says, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son. Now let me just stop. He loveth the Son. God doesn't love a one of us outside of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
God loves the Son and the Son only, and the only way he can love us is in his Son. And that throws a kink in this God loves everybody thing. Because if God does love everybody, he has to love everybody in the Son. And if he loves everybody in the Son, everybody's okay.
Yep, that's right.
Because if he loves them in the Son, he loves them as he loves the Son. That's what he said. You love them as you love me. John 17. Right? For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may... Now notice what he says, that ye may believe. There's some people who God is showing all these things to just for the sake of what? Making them marvel. You remember the Apostle Paul warned some people one time, he said, you be careful, it ain't true of you. That testimony that the prophet made, that the truth's going to be preached to you, but you're not going to in no wise believe it, no matter what a man tells you.
Exactly.
You're of that group of people that will never believe. And folks, there's a group of people that will never believe. As a matter of fact, the more they're told the truth, the more they hate the truth. And there is a place to where it's true, they would have been better off in the end not to have even heard the truth. Because they're going to be judged according to their rejection of the truth. When if they hadn't have heard the truth, they'd have been judged by their natural depravity only. And not just their rebellion against the truth. But yet God says, what? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes,
doesn't
sir.
He? Now he says thee, for the Father loveth the Son, sheweth him all things that himself doeth. He will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now look, for the Father judgeth no man,
amen,
but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So he's not saying the Father does not judge. He's saying the Father only judges how? Through the Son.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying.
For
the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Listen, why? Because it's connect that and take the men out, because that can be very confusing.
Yeah.
It's all of a certain group of people, as he clearly states in chapter 6. But look what it says, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now, if that's all he said, we could just say, well, there should be some kind of co-honor here, right? Mm-hmm. Equal honor here. But he goes further, doesn't he? That all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him.
Amen.
So there is no way of knowing God apart from knowing Jesus Christ. And somebody says, but what about them people in the Old Testament age? You ain't in the Old Testament age.
That's right.
Quit hoping you was. What you're hoping for is something worse than what you even got.
Exactly. That's it.
Crazy people. I'm serious. You make these, well, but you know, what about them? I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
We talk about now, not then.
Exactly.
Well, what did they know? That's God's business, what they knew and what they didn't know. God said, you don't honor the Son, you don't honor me. Well, I know God. I know all about God. I know He's sovereign. Do you know His Son? Do you know His Son? Now, here's those 3 points. There are people who know God because they know the Son, but they're not so sure if they know God or not. But they do because they know the Son. There are other people who know God, and they know they know God, because they know the Son.
Yes, sir.
Now there's three positive ones. I'll give you a fourth one, but it's not the same. There are people who know God because they know the Son, but they're not sure they know God. But the truth is, if they know the Son, they know God.
Amen.
And there are people who know God because they know the Son, and they know God because they know the Son. And there are other people, they know God because they know the Son, but they're not really sure when they knew God, because they think they knew God before they really did, because they didn't know God in the Son. They may know God in the Son now, but they didn't know God in the Son some other time when they actually thought they did. That's the three different kinds of God's people. Then there's that fourth group. There are people that think they know God, but they don't know the Son.
Exactly.
And they may know more about God than the people who know God know.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know God.
Exactly.
Because they don't know the Son.
Exactly.
Now the question I've got to ask, and I don't have time to even try to answer it, God willing, later. The question is, to me, and to me, it's not even so much about, did I know Him yesterday? That's not the point. Yesterday's gone. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
The question is, do I know God in the Son today?
Exactly.
Well, I want to know about this person and that person. You ain't never going to. The only person you can ever be sure about is yourself, and you ain't never going to be too sure about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
The scripture says, it does tell us that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Yes.
But it doesn't say my spirit bears witness with Joe's spirit and I know he is a child of God. It don't work that way.
That's right.
You know, it don't work that way. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But no one is a child of God by experience. Now get what I'm saying? I'm not talking about election. I'm talking about predestination. I'm talking about experience. I'm talking about experiencing salvation. No one knows God apart from the Son. One more verse. And the translators added something in, but it's not all that bad. It's in 1 John chapter 2. And John makes the point that the Spirit actually makes the point that I'm trying to get across. John chapter 2, basically verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?
Amen.
He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and what else? And the Son.
Amen.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now somebody said, but you know, there's a lot of people out there, they believe in the Son. Yeah, and so do the devils.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let me try to bring it down. Here's the point. Here's the difference. The devils, there are people who believe in Jesus Christ, but there are devils who believe more truth about Jesus Christ than people do.
Oh, yeah.
The devils know he's sovereign.
Yes, sir.
They can't spit lest God gives them say-so.
Exactly.
They can't move lest God gives them say-so. Mason, they know he's sovereign.
Oh, yeah.
They live and move and have their being in him too, as well as us.
Yeah.
They exist by him, Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1. But you know, there are men and women who know less than that.
Oh, yeah.
You know that? But they still know the Son. You see, the whole thing, they know about it. They know Jesus. They know this. They know that. The point is, knowing Christ, not denying him,
mm-hmm.
is having a personal encounter with him.
Yes.
That's the whole point. A lot of people profess to know Jesus Christ, but in reality, they deny him. He's just another part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Just another part of life.
Yeah.
Jesus is just another. I believe the truth. I define that truth for me. And if they say anything other than Jesus Christ, they're on the wrong track. Now, I didn't say they were lost, but they're on the wrong track.
Yeah.
You know that?
That's true.
Jesus said this. It's these words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if I don't have him, I ain't got none of those three things. Right?
Exactly.
That's the whole point. Father, I pray that you teach us these things. Much more could be said, should be said, needs to be said. But may it by thy grace be sufficient for the time being. Lord, may it truly be that our hearts and minds are stayed upon thee and the person of thy Son. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.